Psalm 27, 5 through 7. Again, David. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. We need to be thankful for joy, the everyday things, the messy parts of life. See, as the guy said in the video, he's standing out there at the garbage because it makes him think about what's going on. And Lorraine's the one that strikes me the most, the niece, the texting one. Because in this day and age, we all, at some point, get glued to our phones and we forget what's going on around us. Despite all of that, she was still, as he said, the hands and feet of God. She still brought in, because you looked at her friend, whatever her friend's name was, and that's not what you think about when you think about who you want to bring over for Thanksgiving dinner, I don't think. That's the goth girl. That's the gloom and doom and everything's bad. But what did Lorraine make her do? Lorraine made her smile. And that's a young lady who's probably difficult to make smile. And that's the one that strikes me the most through all that. Uncle Butters, I mean, cranky old man. Back in my day, we crunched up squash, put cinnamon on it, we ate it. We find those people. That's a product of being probably about 80 years old and just not. I know. Be careful back there. As the cranky old man in the back clears his throat. But think about those people. What makes that dinner so special? The different dynamics in that group. The first we just read, and I'm going to go back to my notes at this point. Be thankful for joy. We all want to experience happiness, but happiness is a momentary thing. Being happy is in the moment. Being happy is a result of a one-time event. Being happy is that isolated thing. Having joy goes throughout your life. And though Lorraine's sitting there with her phone texting back and forth, there's some kind of joy in her life. And if she could take that joy and give it to her friend, that's a big, big step. That's a big blessing. That's a big thing to be thankful for. Joy does not react to the circumstances. You can still experience joy despite negative things in your life. And you can see that here with David. David is singing on high. As you might be able to ascertain from the verse, he is surrounded by the enemy. Not a good feeling to be in, to be surrounded by the enemy. But he still has joy. And that's what he's going to shout from the mountaintops for God. He's in trouble, but he still finds a way to show his joy. He may not be happy right now, but he's going to show his joy. Fast forward to the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Pretty simple here. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We should give thanks in all our circumstances. Think back to the Last Supper. Not the happiest of times. Think about what Jesus knew at that point. He knew what was about to happen. He even told his disciples what was about to happen. But he still had joy. So let's go to he's about to go through pain and suffering that we cannot even fathom. Even if you've seen the Passion of the Christ, it's still hard to fathom what he went through. But he still had joy in his life. And we'll read here Mark, and he had thankfulness. So Mark 14, 22 through 23 is the one I'm going to read from. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, Take it, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. Jesus knew his destiny. He knew what was about to happen. He knew he was about to suffer unimaginable pain. I'd say on that day, I would think from a human standpoint, the best part of his day was the day that was the moment that Chris was talking about earlier, his last breath, because it was all over. So from a human perspective, that day, the best part of his day was the last breath he took. He was no longer in pain. And from a spiritual perspective, that was the best moment because he had fulfilled the destiny he had. He had come, he had done the job that he had been set forward to do, and now grace is there for us. There's a quote here from John Bloom. This is something I found online. It's about Jesus at the Last Supper. Jesus' thanks was not based on his present circumstances. He was about to endure the worst possible horror. He felt thankful to the Father for the grace and glory that was coming because of the cross, and this gave him joy. So the best part of his day as a human was his last breath because he was no longer in pain. The best part of his day spiritually is his last breath because now we had the grace of God. That's a big moment. And that's not something I thought about until about 2 minutes ago. Because that's a pretty big moment in history right there. I'd never thought of it that way, but to know that the last breath, spiritually and humanly, meant so much. Jesus' joy was determined by his thankfulness in that moment. Glory was coming, but the path to get there was going to be very difficult. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That perseverance finishes its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. As I read that, I think about life. Not just spiritually, but in life. We get challenged. We have to have perseverance. We grow from that perseverance. We can't wallow in the suffering. We can't just sit there and go, oh, woe is me. This is going against me. That's going against me. We can't be that person. The perseverance builds us, makes us a better person. Think about a diamond. And I think I cited this a few lessons ago. A diamond happens because of the pressure that's put on it. It's carbon. And years of pressure makes it into a diamond. And the more pure it is, the more pressure it's enduring. That's perseverance. That's making the best of a bad situation. So the woe is me attitude is not going to bring us anywhere in life. Having joy. Being thankful for our blessings. Those are big things that we need. And the great thing about it, our God, is he knows who we are. He knows who we've been. He knows who we're going to become. And he's going to help us along in that walk. There's no reason to stay in that season of despair because it's not going to last forever. God's going to take us to a better place. He's not done with us. And luckily, he sees value in us. And he wants us to continue to work in our lives to be the best person, the best Christian we can be. Because if we have a woe is me attitude, we're going to get stuck. We're going to be stuck in that despair of, I can't be any better than this. But we have to be. Perseverance. We learn from it. We grow from it. I think we had a child just escape out of the back or something. By the way, I'm seeing people running across. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. Yeah. When you see two adults running out of a room, that's a little scary. But we want to be good people. We want to be the best Christian we can be. Ernest was the one. Running out of the room. So we want to be the best people we can be. We want to be the best Christian we can be. And we have to do that through perseverance. We have to grow from the things that are difficult in our life. We, as educators, we get to see that on a daily basis. If you teach an AP class or an advanced honors class or you take that class, you get challenged. How are you going to deal with that challenge? And that goes for life. Are you going to take that challenge, the proverbial bull by the horns, and just take it on and become a better person? Or are you going to wallow in the woe is me? We know where we need to be, but what are we going to do in that moment? It's easy to stay in the woe is me. But we need to be the ones taking the bull by the horns and growing from our situation. I'm going to go back to Psalm. And I'm sorry if this isn't the most coherent of lessons. It was written this morning, so bear with me. But we're going to go back to Psalm 21, 5 through 7. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed upon him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. I always find joy in the presence of God. It's easy to find it here amongst our friends. It's easy to be here at church and find the joy of God. It's the day-to-day challenge of Monday through Saturday. That's where we have to find the joy. And sometimes we work in jobs that we don't deal with the most joyful people. Sometimes we encounter the most unhappy people at a store, at a restaurant, walking down the street. But the joy we have can change the joy they have. You ever seen that person that just has that infectious joy and love of life? And people gravitate toward them. Why do they gravitate? Because they want a piece of that. And the great thing about joy is you can share it. If you have a joyful life, people want to be around you. We've all seen the negative Nelly. They're sitting over in the corner, nobody wants to talk to them. But if a person has joy, people can't get enough of them. So we have to practice that joy. We have to share that joy. Not just happiness, because remember, happiness is momentary. We're looking for joy, something that doesn't matter about the moment. What's going to make us joyful? The last verse we're going to look at is Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Let's read that again. A cheerful heart is good medicine. That goes back to what I was talking about. Somebody with joy, they exude that joy. We want to be around them. And then the second part of the verse, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. That negative person saps the life out of people. The woe is me person saps the life out of people. It's difficult to be around them. That person, you know, oh, I've got to talk to that person today. I've got to see that person today. But you know that person with joy. You're like, oh, I get to see that person today. It's going to be fun. It's not about the happiness you have in that moment. It's about the joy that person brings to life. So when we have joy, we can be good for the people around us. And that's what we should strive to be. Joy can carry us through the darkest hours, much like it did for Jesus. His last hours, he had joy because he knew what was about to happen. He had worry because he knew what was about to happen. But the joy won out. And the joy carried him to the final destination. And it allowed him to get there because the temptation would have been, hey, let's start negotiating here, God. And we've talked about this before. Can we do something else? Can we make it a little bit easier? But he knew ultimately the joy that this was going to bring the world. We need to remember our joy during this Thanksgiving season and celebrate the ordinary blessings of every day and the messy blessings of every day. There's a quote here from Harry Ironside. He's an early 20th century Bible teacher. His quote was, "We would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction." That's joy. You have joy, it takes away your unhappiness, your dissatisfaction with life. We all want to be content. We have Thanksgiving, it's easier to be content. The woe is me person finds it difficult to be content. The woe is me person finds it hard to be satisfied. So that's the great thing about life. Those are choices. Those are choices that we can make. Who are we going to be? Are we going to be the joyful person? Are we going to be the woe is me person? Are we going to combat dissatisfaction and discontent? Or are we just going to wallow in it? What are we joyful for? What blessings do we have? This is a great week to think about those things. I found a lesson I did, I think this is the second or third time I've done Thanksgiving. And one of the challenges I did was the thing off Facebook where you had to write something you're happy about for each day of the month leading up to Thanksgiving. And that's easy. We can get stuck in the, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. General things. Then we start getting down to day 15, 16. We need to get more specific. We can be thankful for our children, even if they're not paying a lick of attention to what's being said from up front. Thankful for our spouse. Thankful for our parents. Thankful for our job. Thankful for technology. Yes, it's okay to be thankful for technology. It's just not to be wrapped up in it. I don't have a phone this morning. Let's just say I got a new phone yesterday and I might have activated the new phone a little too soon. It doesn't work yet. It's okay. I'm not jonesing yet. We'll see what it's like tonight. But we need to be thankful for specific things in life. One of the ideas I had for today was to do an activity where I passed out a sheet of paper and had you write down what something you were thankful for. And the point was made, it's easy to write 2 points that are pretty general. It's easy to write 2 or 3 points that aren't specific as to what you need to be thankful for. So the challenge to all of us should be, what are we specifically thankful for? And this is a rhetorical challenge, something to do at home. I know two people in here are glad that they're joyful and thankful for their children being back this week. Now we'll see what they're saying on Friday. Sometimes those college students, you got to be careful. All right? Thankful that we're going to be able to spend time with family in Arkansas. Again, ask me on Saturday, Sunday. Not thankful for a six-hour drive, but, you know, it's okay. That's part of the trek. We get to spend time with family this time of year, and that's a good thing. It's a time to get together and to actually think about it. Be cognizant of what we're thankful for. It's something we should do 365 days a year, or in the case of this year, 366 days. But like Chris said in his before the communion, his first thought this morning, he was very thankful for his first thought this morning. Because what's our first thought every morning? Where's my phone? What happened overnight? What's the news? What happened on Facebook? What emails did I get? Should that be our first thought? No. It should be something a little deeper than what's on my phone. What happened in the world last night? Now, those are things we need to know. Those are things we need to know, but should that be our first thought? So the challenge to each of us this year is to think about what we're thankful for. We're thankful for money right now. So think about those things deeply, not just the superficial things, because that's the easy thing for us to do. Remember, we will worry less if we praise more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. So the goal for this season is to be happy as we transition into Christmas and the joyous time that is, to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and then we transition into New Year, and then we transition into Valentine's Day, and transition to Easter, and transition to summer, 365 days a year, to be aware. I'm getting cut off, I think. I knew it was going to be short, but man. Thankful for the guy who gets the preacher to sit down. Oh. Look, I'm going to go to the final paragraph here. We live a blessed life. We really do. We live in the country of freedom. We can live in a country where we can vote for whoever we want to. We may not be happy with that vote, but we have the right to be discontent with that vote, with what happened. This is a blessed place to live. And we pray for China and Russia and India and all those other places that have to worry about, that don't have the right to freedom of religion, freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. So we live in a very blessed country. We live in a very blessed time. Take this time this week to think about it and to realize what's important in life, the blessings that we have, whether they're messy, ordinary, extraordinary, whatever they may be. It's a good time to be around. It's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be thankful. So as we go into this Thanksgiving season, keep that in mind. Hopefully it's a little bit of a challenge. But if you'll please rise as we stand and sing the closing song.